Hello and welcome into the KE Report. We are talking today with Dave Erfle, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie, and we're going to be talking all things precious metals. Well, Dave, you know, looking at the trend over the last year and a half, there's a lot of negative sentiment in the precious metal sector, but we've seen a couple of things recently, some indicators that may be an early warning sign that we're getting closer to the turn. Let's start off with your observation of what happened at the end of the month, end of the quarter, and take it from there.
Yeah, Shad. It reminds me of that famous quote in The Godfather 3, terrible movie, but a great quote, where Al Pacino says, "Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in." Well, on the last day of the quarter, the gold sector was, black bearish going into the last day of the quarter. I mean, everybody was thinking, okay, gold's going to at least go down to test 1700 before the end of the quarter. And then the last day of the quarter, instead, gold made a huge move and reversed right in the morning. It went up $30 and it closed the quarter. It closed the quarter above 1750. Not only that, but it closed the month above 1750. It closed the quarter above 1750. And then the day after, on a Friday, it closed the week above 1750. And silver especially. You know, I warned my subscribers, you know, look at that 22 level. They're going to try to get it below 22 going into the quarter. And sure enough, they did. And it sold all the way down to 2150. Well, there was a bunch more stops at 2150. They weren't able to run. And instead, it made a strong bullish hammer as well. And it closed above $22. So I think that was very significant because, you know, they've been trying to break this trend down. It's been sold down to 1675, which is critical support. And each time it's gotten down there, we've seen strong buying coming in. And let's face it, the last time it got down there, it was rather suspicious the way it got down there. You know, it was in the Asian overnight trading. You know, there was holidays. There was one seller that sold this huge amount of contracts. And it was very, very suspicious. So we all know that all these markets are manipulated, gold included, but they can't manipulate a trend. They've been trying to break down the trend and they haven't been able to because strong buying comes in. Now that level is 1750 all week. So each time the gold price gets down towards 1750, we're seeing strong buying coming in. And also you're also starting to see the miners show relative strength. I mean, let's face it. I mean, they are bombed out. I mean, they're deeply, deeply oversold. So I think they're set up here for a strong slingshot move. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, a major catalyst. The shorts are starting to get nervous here. You know, I think the bears, it's a good chance the bears have shot their wad. You know, I'm not saying back up the truck, but I'm just saying I'm seeing signs of maybe we're starting to carve out a bottom.
Yeah, Dave, you raise a couple of good points there because we have seen that level, that 1675 tested. And then that last time was a little suspicious, but it still held. And we've also seen a pattern. If you back up the chart, to where this all began at the end of 2015, we've seen a pattern of continued higher lows. And so while some people are looking at the shorter term action over the last year and a half of the lower highs, if you really look at the overall trend in this bull market, the secular bull market is still well in place, and every single of these lows has been a little bit higher than the next. So if we bottom at 750, that'd still be higher than the last couple times that 1675 was tested. Another area is that the BPGDM, the Gold Miners Bullish Percentage Index, has dropped below 20, and the market breadth is pretty terrible. Sentiment's pretty terrible. So what do you make of the fact that the miners are trading like they expect lower gold prices? And do you think that that is significant, that we could see that just simply being an exhaustion of the sellers being the catalyst we need?
Yeah, I mean, it's something to definitely look at. I mean, when we had that bottom in 2016, after the gold price crashed from when it finally lost support at 1550 and sold down all the way to 1050, and the GDX from its peak in 2011 down into the first few weeks of January of 2016, we had that huge move up in 6 months, and the GDX peaked at around 31. Well, when the GDX peaked at around 31, the gold price peaked at 1375. And it meandered below 1375, building a huge base for about 6 years. And the GDX now is trading at below 30. Like the gold price was, you know, at 1375 back in August of 2016, where it peaked out at 1375. The GDX is basically saying, hey, the gold price is going to go down to at least 1550, 1575, which is the 50% retracement level from the move from 1050 to the doubling of the gold price to nearly 2100. So that's what the shares are saying. That's what the market's thinking. And also, you have to factor in, you know, we've brought this up before, all this tax loss selling coming in while the gold sector was consolidating. And people were just saying, hey, what am I holding these miners that I'm down on for when I can sell them for tax loss now in June, when it looks like the Fed's going to taper, then I can put that money into the stock market. And if you dial that back a little bit more, seasoned speculators that understand how this sector works the past few months are saying, hey, I know these are quality stocks, but I just missed my entry point. I'm going to go ahead and sell them now, and then I'll buy them back past 30 days after the wash sale, after the wash sale rule is up. Because when you sell something for a tax loss, you can't buy it back for 30 days if you want to claim it as a tax loss for this calendar year. So you've had all that combined with the Fed doing a great job of convincing the market that the inflation's transitory. Up until this week, we're starting to see the Fed dial back a little bit. Powell was talking this week to Congress, and he said he's frustrated about inflation being sticky. Yeah, it's not transitory. It's still hanging around. And in the meantime, we got this debt ceiling wrangling going on. And now we have to get this settled by October 18th. And Biden can't get the $3.5 trillion infrastructure package passed because, I mean, that's 15% of the national debt. So it's crazy numbers out there. And I think people are starting to say, hey, wait a minute. Maybe this inflation isn't transitory. Look how cheap these miners are in relation to these tech stocks. Like we brought up last week, you know, when that Agnico Kirkland Lake merger was announced, I think that brought attention to generalist investors, like the Randgold Barrick merger from 2018. It brought attention to them, say, hey, wait a minute. Look at these tech stocks. They're ridiculously overvalued after going up for 12 straight years. And look at the mining sector. Look how cheap it is. So some of that money is starting to be rotated into miners, I think. It doesn't take much, Shad. This is a dinky, dinky little sector. It doesn't take much money. It doesn't take many investors to come out of their overpriced stocks to come into miners here to move it significantly. And I'm not saying it's not moved significantly yet, but the impetus is there. We just need that catalyst to start taking it higher.
Yeah, I'll agree that it is a dinky sector and it doesn't take many capital flows to really move it. I'm just wondering if the generalist investors are getting the memo. But one other thing I wanted to ask you about, Dave, was I think you have mentioned it in the past that we wanted to see a divergence between the general stock markets and the mining stocks and the precious metal sector. And for the last couple of trading sessions, really most of the last week or two,
since Monday.
Yeah, we started to see that. So is this the divergence we've been waiting for between the miners and the general markets?
Yep, since Monday, we're starting to see that. Yep, on Monday morning, I turn on my computer about an hour before the market opens, and gold's down 14 bucks, but the miners are up. And all of a sudden, the COMEX opens, and we see a huge reversal of about $25. So not only is the PM sector starting to decouple from the stock market, but the miners are starting to show relative strength before it happens, and they're starting to lead. I'm not saying it's a trend. It's only the last 4 days. And if you look at the GDX and the GDXJ, it's a small little blip in an uptrend has started to form. I think maybe some shorts are getting nervous coming into that non-farm payrolls report on Friday. Because if it's another really bad non-farm payrolls report, Powell has said it doesn't have to be great, but if it's awful, then that's going to put into people's mind, hey, this taper is probably going to be off the table. And that could be a catalyst to bring gold back up to 1800. And if that does happen, it's going to be interesting to see what the shares do, what kind of move they're going to make. We're also seeing the stock market starting to roll over, like we talked about. I mean, it's having a big up move today, but it's still in a downtrend, especially the NASDAQ. I mean, that looks kind of ominous. So it's just going to be interesting to see how gold reacts to this non-farm payrolls report. Because if it's super bad, then I think we get a nice gold bump. If it's just kind of bad or even good, then gold might be hard pressed to hold that 1750 area. So it's still a caution is still advised, but I am cautiously optimistic now.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to keep our eyes on that non-farms payroll just to see how it comes in. If it's another stinker, that could be a catalyst. One other question just before we wrap up, Dave, and that is, as far as the divergence between the general stock markets, and as you mentioned, the Nasdaq getting pummeled a little bit harder than the other indexes just shows that some of that money is leaving tech because Nasdaq is heavily weighted to the tech sector. Do you think that when they first start to migrate over to the precious metals, if and when they do, that they will go into the metal more, or do you expect them to find some of these senior miners, like you mentioned with the mega merger between Kirkland Lake and Agnico Eagle? Do you think that they'll start seeing the valuations and the big producers being so much healthier than a lot of the other sectors, or do you think they'll go to the safe haven of gold first?
I think it'll be the miners because it's drawing their attention to how undervalued they are in relation to the price of gold, especially historically. So if they took, take a look at that, it's like, wow, look at these stocks. They're so undervalued and they're paying a healthy dividend. So of course some of them are going to come into gold, but I think they're going to see the value. The value is in the miners. There's more value in the miners here for sure. And when these sectors make a major bottom, a significant bottom, it's the miners and the royalty companies that start to move first, then the mid-tiers, then the quality junior explorers, then finally the earlier stage explorers start to move. So it's going to be the majors and the royalty companies that start to move first.
Okay, well, we'll wrap it up there and we'll keep our eyes on this Friday's non-farm payroll report. Thanks for spending some time with us here at the KE Report. And for those that are not familiar with Dave's work, definitely check out his site, juniorminerjunkie.com. And he's got a great initial free newsletter that walks people through what he's looking at in the market. And then, Dave, just take a quick second and walk us through what do subscribers get when they subscribe to your service?
Oh, sure, Chad, thanks. Basically, what they get is they get a snapshot of my trading account. I'm completely transparent. I have a high value account that is my personal portfolio, and it's basically a teaching service. I incorporate risk management tactics. I give them a 24-hour notice before I buy or I sell an entire position. And I basically write up a report first when I announce that I'm taking a position in something. So I do a full detailed report and send it out to my subscribers a day before that I'm planning on taking a position. And also, like I said, it's a teaching service. So, I'm very big on risk management. So, I've been in this sector for 20 years now. So I understand how risky this sector is. It's high risk, high reward. So you just got to constantly be on top of your risk management. And I really stress that, by basically trimming winners during strong up legs. And once a position gets too big, make sure you trim it. And as far as timing, when you're buying these juniors, times like this are a great time. When you get that feeling in your stomach, like, oh, I should, this stock's really cheap, but oh, it looks like it could go even lower, and you feel terrible clicking that buy button. That's usually the best time to buy.
Absolutely, and it's times like these that it's really an investor's best interest to build their watch list and look for a portfolio of companies they want to average into or position in. And sometimes if folks don't have enough time for that, it's nice to have someone else that they can model their portfolio off of and get good insights from. And I can't recommend Dave Erfley enough. But we appreciate you spending some time with us here at the KE Report, Dave. Have a great rest of the week.
You too, Chad. Thanks a lot.